Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you for guiding us, your Holy Spirit, into all righteousness. Thank you for the strength and power you have given to us to do what is right in your sight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your power giving us sound mind. Thank you for your mighty hand removing negative thoughts from our hearts, from our minds. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for strengthening us in our minds to reject everything that does not agree with your will and desires. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for your light that is shining on our souls, revealing to us every nature that is not your nature. Thank you for your light that is shining into our souls, separating darkness from us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for many things we have done wrong that you have corrected us by your Holy Spirit so that we can stop doing them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for spiritual strength we have. Thank you for divine revelations you sent to us by time. Thank you for bringing us hope to grow in the knowledge of you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for several lessons you have taught us through Bible study classes we have been having in this ministry. Thank you for helping us to heed to these lessons. And thank you for how those truths have changed our lives. Thank you, Lord. We also thank you for what you are going to teach us today and how it would change our lives. Father, I ask that you have your way in this session, in this teaching class. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Let the entrance of your word save, revive, deliver, and restore as many that will be listening. Thank you, Lord, because we know you shall do beyond our request. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. And we are going to continue from where we stopped during the last class. If we move very fast, we might finish with the introduction today. Yeah, if we move very fast. Remember, we are still on the topic that says building a strong discerning spirit. And we have been introducing, or let me say, I have been introducing this topic usually introduction is just like a way of summarizing the topic. Yeah. But there is still more, and we will be going deeper very soon. Yeah. So the next point under the introduction is a discernment and spiritual strength. Discernment and spiritual strength. There is need for spiritual strength to be able to discern accurately the mind of God or the mind of the devil. There is a need for spiritual strength in your spirit. Or maybe I should say, there is a need for strength in your spirit for you to be able to accurately discern the spiritual realms. Yeah, just as certain gadgets, certain electronic gadgets or equipment cannot work until you plug them to electricity. Yeah. So, in the same way, there's a level of strength that must be in your spirit before you can be able to discern correctly what is going on in the invisible realms and in the spiritual realms. Yeah. So, or maybe I should say that there is a level of fire that must be in your spirit. Yeah. There's a level of strength, spiritual strength, that must be inside your spirit. Now, if we look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Yeah, it says, but strong meat belongeth to those, belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Yeah, those who already have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil are also those who are of full age. Yeah, so to be strong spiritually is to be strong in discernment. Yeah, when there is strength in your spirit, there is might in your spirit, there is fire in your spirit, which means that you are up to date in every spiritual exercise you should be doing on a daily basis as a prayers, you pray for hours. Yeah, maybe you pray for, let's say, 3 hours every day, or 4 hours every day, or 6 hours every day, and you're up to date and fasting, maybe you fast for twice or three times in a week. Yeah, so if you are up to date in a daily spiritual exercise that a normal Christian should be doing, there's no how you will not be able to discern the realm of the spirit. There's no how you won't be able to discern accurately the realm of the spirit. There are some things that will not be hidden to you. Yeah, when your spirit man is always charged, when your spirit man is charged with fire, always, there are so many things going on in the realm of the spirit that will not be hidden from you. Yeah. Even the witchcraft pressures going on in your environment will not be hidden from you. Yeah, it won't be hidden from you. So if God will not speak to you with his audible voice or through his audible voice, he can send a lot of messages to you through other channels. Yeah, because your spirit man is charged to receive those messages. So he can even begin to show you through dreams, because your spirit man is doing exercises on daily basis. Your spirit man is always involved in spiritual exercises. So it will make your spiritual, if I can call it, antenna. It will make your spiritual antenna to be very sharp in picking signals, spiritual, from the realm of the spirit. But if you hardly study and meditate on the Bible, you hardly pray every day, you hardly fast, you hardly do intercessions, evangelism, yeah, and many other spiritual assignments that you are supposed to be doing for God as a Christian. If you hardly do those things, there are many things going on in your environment. I mean, many spiritual things going on in your environment or going on concerning your life, calling and destiny that will be hidden from you. Yeah, but when your spirit man is charged or your spirit man is on fire, it will be easy for your spirit to pick signals coming from the spiritual world or from the spiritual realms. It will be very easy. Yeah, so that is how spiritual strength is connected to discernment. The more fire in your spirit, the more you'll be able to receive messages, divine messages and signals and information from the spiritual worlds or from the spiritual realms. Yeah, and I have also said it before that many times the dream, some of you, let's say for instance, you had a dream last night. Many times the dream you had last night, I mean a prophetic dream, a dream that contains a divine message from God. Many times that dream you had last night has been in your spirit maybe 2 weeks since, 2 weeks ago. Yeah, because the angel that brought that message has dropped it in your spirit. Yeah, but because there's no fire in your spirit, or there's no enough fire, enough strength in your spirit, your soul have not yet picked it up. Yeah, that is why it was after, maybe it was after you prayed one serious prayer, or you prayed very well, you fasted very well, that is when you will now see the dream. So whereas you could have seen that dream maybe 2 weeks ago, immediately the Spirit of God or the angel of God dropped it in your spirit. You could have seen it exactly that in that 2 weeks ago, or in that time that it was dropped. Yeah, but because God is merciful, so God will keep that instruction or information in the environment of your spirit, because your spirit is a very big personality. Your spirit has a very large capacity to contain things. Yeah. And that is how it can also contain demons, because it has a large capacity. Just like that man Jesus confronted, that madman Jesus confronted, or maybe that confronted Jesus. That man said, the spirit in that man said, we are legion because we are many. So there were thousands of demons inside one man's spirit. That tells you that your spirit man has a very large capacity to contain many things. Yeah. In fact, I've said it before that your spirit man is 7 times bigger than the whole head. Just the spirit of one man in size is 7 times bigger than the whole world. Yeah, so that's just by the way. My point is that God will ensure that the message, the divine message he has placed in your spirit, God will ensure that it remains in the environment of your spirit, waiting for the time you'll be spiritual enough, or the time you'll be spiritually strong enough to pick that message. Yeah, so that is why some people feel like, why is it now I'm getting to know this? Why shouldn't God make me know this before now? It's not about God, it's about you. I'm sure God would have wanted you to know a long time before the time you are now knowing that thing. It's because your spirit was weak to pick up that message. Yeah, so that is the connection between spiritual strength and discernment. Somebody like me, I can to be weak in my spirit. Because it might put a lot of lives in danger. Yeah, for me to be weak in my spirit, because God is using my spirit for a lot of operations. Yeah. God is using my spirit to serve as a covering over many people, because I'm praying for many people. Yeah. And not even people, I'm praying for nations. Yeah, I'm standing the gap for souls, for destinies. So I cannot afford to be weak. Yeah, because if I am weak, I might not get the signal that I need to get per time to continue to stand in gap for those people and families and nations. Yeah, so you can't afford to be weak. Yeah, in your spirit. If you are a parent and you are weak in your spirit, it will put the lives of everyone in your family in danger. I mean, it can put the life of your spouse and children in danger. Yeah, because as a parent, you are supposed to be a spiritual covering to your children and even to your spouse and even to your grandchildren. So if you are not prayerful, their lives can be in danger. If you are not always strong in your spirit, their lives can be in danger. The lives of those people, God is using you to cover spiritually. Yeah. So that is how important spiritual strength is. So which also implies that if a danger is coming upon anyone in your family, maybe somebody in your family is has been targeted by the kingdom of darkness for destruction, for road traffic accident, for untimely death, you would have known, yeah, because you are strong in your spirit, you would have known that devil has marked someone in your family for destruction because you are praying for them. So God would have shown you and you would have counseled it before it happens. You would have counseled it so that it will not happen. Yeah, there are a lot of things I know earlier and I've counseled it. And that is why it doesn't happen. Even in our ministry, a lot of things I have known that would happen to some people, and I would have stopped it in the realm of the spirit, and it will not even there will be no trace of it. Yeah, it will not even happen at all. Yeah, because I was strong enough to know earlier when the plans was going on in the realm of the spirit, and I was strong enough to pray, and God answered, and the thing did not happen. Yeah, so that is how important for you as a Christian to always be strong in your spirit. Not that you are strong in the spirit last week and then you are not strong this week. That is not spiritual strength. Spiritual strength means that you are always strong spiritually. Yeah, that is what spiritual strength means. It means you know how to be strong, always spiritually, irrespective of whatever is going on in your physical environment. You just know how to always be strong spiritually. And that is very important to building a strong, discerning spirit. Yeah. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 15. It says, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. He that is spiritual judge all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man." So what does that mean? It means that there's a level of strength you will attain in your spirit man that you will not only know things, you will also be able to judge things, and your judgment will be true and accurate or and correct. Yeah. There's a level of spiritual strength you will have in your spirit, or there's a kind of strength we have in your spirit that will make you to be able to judge things and judge situations, and your judgment will be correct. Yeah, your judgment will be correct. Sometimes when I look at some situations and I make my judgment, and I tell the people involved in that situation that this is what you should do. Sometimes they ask me that, is it God that said, or let me put it this way, those people will tell me that what you have just said, is it from God? Is it that you had the voice of God saying that I should do this about this situation? I'll tell them that I did not hear the voice of God, but I just know that in this situation, this is what you should do. Now, some of them who are wise, knowing that I'm a spiritual person, they would just follow that instruction I give them. And when they follow the instruction, they don't regret, because almost immediately they follow the instruction, there will be a way out. And there will be success, there will be solution, there will be breakthrough. Yeah, now, and the truth is, it's not as if I had any voice from God about the situation, but because of the strength that I have, because of the discerning strength that I have in my spirit, I'm able to judge those situations, and I'm able to say, this is what you should do, and this is what you should not do. In most cases, I'm always correct. I mean, in most cases, I'm always correct. So that is what that verse means in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 15. That when you are spiritual, you can judge things, and your judgment will be true. Your judgment will be correct. And nobody can judge you. Yeah. Because you are acting like a mysterious person. You're acting like a wind. You know what? You know what Jesus said in John chapter 3, when he was describing what it means to be born of the Spirit. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in that chapter, John chapter 3. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and he was saying that a man that is born of the Spirit is like a wind. Nobody knows where he's going, and nobody knows. I mean, just like you cannot know for sure the direction of the wind. Maybe I should read it. You cannot tell that this is where the wind is coming from, and this is where the wind is going. So the same way, it should be impossible for people to know and understand your life as a Christian. So your life should be as mysterious as a wind. Yeah, so that is why it is impossible to judge a spiritual man. I mean, I'm talking about a real spiritual man, not somebody that is under the influence of demons or of Satan. Yeah, I'm talking about a real spiritual man who is under the influence of the Spirit of God, or whose nature have transformed to the same nature that is in God. It is so impossible to judge that kind of person. Yeah, because sometimes you cannot tell can't, or maybe I should say, you can't find sense in what they are doing. Yeah. You might not even understand their life. And you can't predict their life. Yeah. Because they are spiritual. Yeah. So, that is what that is what a discerning strength can do to you as a Christian, or that is what it can make you to be. It will give you the wisdom to judge things. Yeah, the wisdom to judge things, and your judgment will be true. Now you might be asking, yeah, okay, before I go further, the verse I was talking about is in John chapter 3 verse 8. John chapter 3 verse 8. It says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Yeah. Now, what I was going to say was that you might be asking that how come a spiritual man can judge things and his judgment will be accurate and correct? Yeah, it is because over time your spirit have known, or your spirit have been able to differentiate between light and darkness. Over time, your spirit has been able to differentiate between the operations of light and the operations of darkness. So so if you can discern the operations of darkness and the operations of light in the earth, in the world, in people's lives, in situations, in circumstances, then you can be able to know the path of darkness in situations and the path of light in situations. Yeah, you can be able to know where darkness is in a situation and where light is in that situation. And you can be able to pull people out of darkness into the light in the same situation. You can be able to say, don't do it that way, do it this way, because that will mean that will mean light, and that would mean righteousness, because that is the proper way to do it. Don't do it that way, do it this way. Yeah, because you already know the path of light and the path of darkness in all situations. So you'll be able to judge that this is the right path this person can follow at this time. And you'll be able to tell the person, just follow this path. And you'll be correct. Yeah, you'll be correct. Yeah, many times I judge things from their roots. I judge situations from their roots. So I look at what is the motive, what is the mindset of this case. And do their motives and mindset, do they line up with the word of God and with the will of God? Yeah, so you can judge many situations by the trigger of the situations. What led to those situations? Why people acted the way they acted in that situation? And through the motive, the mind behind what is happening at that time, you can be able to know where the light is and where the darkness is in that situation. Well, maybe that was another teaching. Yeah. But I believe you understand what I'm saying, or what I've just said. Now let's look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Yeah, so it's saying that you can be strong as a Christian. You can be strong enough as a Christian to help lift up those that are falling spiritually, or those that are falling. Yeah, those that they are currently falling, they are drifting away from the path of light. You can lift them up, or draw them out of that state if you are strong in your spirit. Yeah. And how can you do that as a spiritual believer or as a Christian? How can you restore people who were once strong believers? I mean, people who were once righteous, faithful, and obedient to Christ, but later they went into sin. Yeah, they deliberately went into sin. Yeah, and they even have gone so deep into that sin. How can you, as a strong believer, restore those people back to who they were before? Yeah, it's simple. Yeah, it's simple. But the first thing that is important is that you must have overcome the realm of darkness that have conquered that person. You must have overcome the sin that have conquered that person. Yeah, because if you're trying to pull out, let's say for instance, you're trying to pull out a fornicator or an adulterer, whereas you have not overcome that sexual sin, you might not be able to do that. And in the process, they might pull you into the sin. Yeah, those people might be the one pulling you into that sin. If you have not conquered the realm of sin that have conquered them, and you are not trying to deliver them from that realm of sin, you might be swallowed up by the same realm or by the same sin that have swallowed them up. So that is why that verse says, those who are spiritual, which also means those who are strong spiritually. Those are the type of people that can bring those who have been overtaken by faults or sin. Yeah, those are the type of people that can do that. Yeah, like someone who claimed to be an evangelist and he began to go to brothels. He began to go after prostitutes and he said God has sent him to prostitutes to win their souls to the kingdom of God, and he has not defeated the realm of lust and sexual sins, the realm of seduction. In the long run, that person will be overtaken by that realm that have, you know, by that realm that have conquered those prostitutes. That is the point. So if you want God to use you to bring back many sinners, or to bring out sinners from their captivity, from their slavery to sin, if you want God to use you, then you must be strong enough to do that. That is why God don't just use anyone. God would love to use everyone, but he don't use everyone. And he choose the kind of assignment he would command anyone to do for him. So if God sees that you are not strong enough for a certain assignment, God would never give you that assignment. But let's say, for instance, you want God to use you to deliver many who have been captured, who have been overtaken, who have been enslaved by several realms of darkness and realms of sin. Then you make sure that, as you are right now, that you have conquered those realms that have enslaved those people. Because if you have not conquered those realms, you can't save those people. You will end up being defeated by the realm of darkness that has defeated those people. So that is why it is important that we get strong spiritually. There was a brother that invited me some time ago. Yeah, it was a brother in the community I lived. I have lived in that environment before. So he told me how he has passion for the youth, how he has burdens to see youths, young men and women, revived and saved and delivered. And he told me how he wants me and him to work together, how we can make that vision work. And you know, when he told me that, I was excited, because that is the same passion that is in my heart. So I said, no problem, that we are going to do it, that we are going to work together, we are going to get it done. But after I came back home, and after some days, I began to pray about it. I began to ask God about it. And God told me that it's a good vision. But he said that the brother is not strong enough for that thing, for that work, or for that kind of assignment. So I went back to him. I said, God told me this thing you want to do is a very good vision, but you are not strong enough. So I don't know what strong enough might mean to him. But I felt it means that it is either the assignment would start, and at the point everything would just fall apart, everything would just crumble. Or in the process, he might be attacked by the kingdom of darkness, and he will not survive the attack. So that is why it is important for us to seek spiritual strength, or for us to get strong in our spirit. It is important, especially for those of you who want God to use you. Yeah. You must be strong enough for it. So it's not about the anointing. It's not about the power. Yeah. It's not only about the anointing. It's not only about the power. It's about strength. So the question is, the same temptations that those people you want God to use it to deliver, the same temptations they fall into easily. Do you also fall into that same temptations easily? Yeah. So you have to ask yourself questions. Yeah, before you ask God to use you. Yeah, so now let's look at another point. Yeah, I want to look at discernment and love. Discernment and love, or the connection between discernment and love. Yeah, let's look at the book of 1 John chapter 4 verse 8. 1 John chapter 4 verse 8. It says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Yeah, so which means that without you having love, you cannot God, or you cannot know God. If you don't have love, you cannot know God. Because God is love. The nature of God is love. And I have said it earlier in this introduction, that knowing God is very central to having a strong discerning spirit. Yeah, knowing God is very central to having a strong discerning spirit. So meaning that without knowing God intimately, you cannot have a pure discerning spirit, or you cannot have a strong discerning spirit, because you will have to test everything against God. Yeah. You will have to, because discernment means that you are checking for the reality of what is so you are checking what is that thing that is not known, and then you are checking what is God saying about that thing. That is discernment. So if your knowledge of God is weak, then how would you know exactly what you are trying to know? Because discernment means you are trying to know something that is hidden, something that is invisible, something that is mysterious, something that is unknown. Yeah. And since it is only God that knows all things, then if you don't know God, how can you know what is unknown? And how can you know what to do with what is unknown? Even if you happen to know it eventually, how can you know what to do with what is unknown? Yeah, so that is why the knowledge of God is the foundation for a strong discerning spirit. It's the foundation for having a strong discerning spirit, because you will test everything against God. Does this agree with God? Yeah, does this agree with God's nature? Does this agree with God's will? So, and that is why knowing God is the foundation. Now, this scripture says that you cannot know God if you don't have love. Yeah, and the love of Christ is in two dimensions. You love God, and then you love those that God loves. Yeah, you love God, and then you love those that God loves. So now the question is, does God love Christians? The answer is yes, because Christians are God's children. They are God's people. So if you hate Christians, it means you don't love God. And not only that, another question is, does God love the world? According to John chapter 3 verse 16, we're told that God loved the world so much, meaning that God loves sinners so much. He loves unbelievers so much because he wants to bring them to repentance. He wants to save their souls. And so you have to love everyone that God loves. And you have to love God so deeply. So if you are perfect in love, you will be so perfect in discernment. Now, let me also tell you this. You know, some people, they want to have gifts of prophecy, or they want to have prophetic gifts, which includes, you know, gifts of prophecy, word of knowledge, the gift of word of knowledge, the gift of word of wisdom, the gift of discerning of spirits. Yeah, and, you know, they will come to me, they will say, man of God, I want to be able to prophesy. I want to function in prophetic gifts. Yeah, they would say that, you know, what can I do? Somebody told me that I have the calling of a prophet. Yeah, so what can I do to start prophesying? What can I do to start manifesting prophetic gifts? Yeah. Now the questions they ask me is not wrong. They are right questions. Yeah. But many of them, they don't want to know the pathway to manifesting those prophetic gifts. They don't want to know it, and some of them don't want to agree with it. Yeah, and one of the pathways to manifesting prophetic gifts or fulfilling a prophetic calling is love, is walking in love. Yeah, walking in love, meaning that you love God so much, and then you love God's people, and then you love those people God loves. In fact, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you will see it there. Yeah, or you can start from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then you read chapter 13. Then you will see how Apostle Paul was telling those people that if they easily want to function in spiritual gifts, they should learn love, or they should learn to love. They should walk in the path of love. So that is one of the sure ways to manifesting spiritual gifts. So, yeah. So, I used to say that why would you want God to reveal things about people to you when you don't love those people? Yeah, why would you want God to show you details about people's lives? I mean, people's lives, when you have not prayed for those people, when you have not interceded for those people, yeah, with a genuine heart of love. Yeah, it is wrong. That is why most prophets that we have today, they are shallow prophets. Now, when I say shallow prophets, God don't really give them deep things about people's lives and destinies. God don't reveal to them how they can help the people to fulfill their destinies. So some of them, they just prophesy about hardly things. They prophesy about you making money, you traveling abroad, you getting healed, getting delivered. So everything they prophesy about is so shallow. It has nothing to do with destiny. It has nothing to do with salvation of soul. It has nothing to do with some deeper issues about calling and destiny and about the kingdom of God. So, yeah. So that is why they couldn't see much about people's lives, because they don't have deep love for the people they are prophesying to. So some people, they only prophesy, because of pride. Yeah, they want to show that, yes, I can see in the spirit. I can prophesy. So it is the pride that is the motive, that is their motive for going into prophetic ministry. It is just to show, for showing, that they can see, they can discern. Yeah, and some, it is to make money, to make merchandise of the grace of God. Yeah. So different motive. So that is why some people you have to pay some money before they will prophesy. Yeah, so that tells you why after they give prophecy, it doesn't really glorify God. I mean, God is not glorified even after they have given their prophecies. And the lives of the people are not transformed. Especially spiritual transformation is missing in the lives of the people. Yeah, and the people are not being equipped and empowered to fulfill their callings and career and destinies. Yeah. Why? Because the so-called prophets have not love. They don't have love. Yeah. So God will easily show you things about people when you are praying for the same people, when you love the same people. Yeah. So that is why discernment is so much connected to love. Yeah, why should God show me things about Zambia, about Zimbabwe, about Canada, about any country in the world? If I'm not praying for that country, if I'm not praying for the people in that country, if I'm not praying for the churches in that country, God should not show me anything. Yeah, He should not. Yeah, so that is the connection between discernment and love. So if you so much hate certain people, certain group of people, you so much hate them, you don't want to see them around you, you don't want to have anything to do with them, yeah, and then you are asking God to use you for those kind of people, it's not going to work. Yeah, God cannot use you for them. Yeah, and God cannot even show you things about them. Yeah, because you don't love them. You hate them. Yeah. That is how discernment works. Not by suspicion. Oh, I suspect that man is a witch. I suspect that man is a wizard. Yeah. How you will know that man is a witch is by loving that man first. Loving the man enough that you are praying that God should save his soul. That is how you will know if he's a witch or not. if you start praying by hating the man and say, God, I think that man is a witch. You have to kill that man because he's a witch. Yeah. Well, most times God will not even kill the man. Yeah. Because God wants to save souls. So God will expose people to you when your love is perfect. It will expose who they are. It will expose their intentions. It will expose deep things about their lives to you. When your love for those people is perfect and pure, when you are looking for their salvation, you are looking for their deliverance, you are looking for their repentance, that is when God can show you who they really are. Not when you are suspecting everyone. And to you, if someone look in a certain way, then that person must be an idol worshiper, or that person must be a cultist, or that person must be a wizard. Then you will keep making mistakes, because most times you will call certain people certain names, or you give certain people certain identity they don't have. Yeah, because you don't have love. So your spirit will not discern accurately when you don't have love. Yeah, that is the truth. Yeah. And then we have another scripture here. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Yeah, so if you say you love God and you hate your fellow brethren, then you're a liar. You don't actually love God. And also in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Yeah, it says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light, is no darkness at all. At all. So the only thing that can get rid of darkness from your life is love. It's true faith. In love, you cannot defeat all of darkness. You can't. Yeah, you can't defeat all of darkness. Yeah, you might defeat some part of darkness. Maybe you have some measure of love, you have some measure of faith, and other spiritual virtues. Yeah, but until you are perfect in love, you cannot defeat all darkness. And there's a good example in the scripture. The only way Jesus was able to defeat Satan, principalities, powers of darkness, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. The only way Jesus was able to defeat all darkness was through love. Yeah, that was the only way he was able to defeat all darkness. It was true love. Yeah, for the sake of love, he laid down his life on the cross of Calvary. Yeah, he loved the whole world to the point that he gave his life. Yeah, that was the highest sacrifice of God for the salvation of mankind. That was the highest sacrifice of God for the salvation of mankind. And that is the most powerful sacrifice. Yeah, and that is why no darkness is stronger than that sacrifice. But it was a sacrifice of love. So no darkness is stronger than that sacrifice. No witchcraft is stronger than that sacrifice. So which means that no darkness is stronger than love. If we can love genuinely, it means we have defeated all darkness. Yeah, that is what it means. And we have known it from the scriptures, how sacrificial love is. So if you claim you love and you have not, you are not loving sacrificially, you are not loving sacrificially, then you have not yet loved. You don't have love yet. Yeah, because the love that was revealed to us, the love of Christ that was revealed to us in the Bible, is sacrificial. So if the love that you claim to have is not sacrificial, then it's not yet the love of Christ. It's probably the same love any person on earth could have. It is not yet the love of Christ, because the love of Christ demands that you lay down your life, all your life. That's what the love of Christ demands, that you lay down your will. Yeah, because Jesus came to the point where he said, Father, let your will be done, not my will, even though I would prefer not to die for these people. But Father, let your will be done, not my will. Yeah. So until the love you claim to have for God and for God's people demand that you lay down your life, that love is not yet perfect. Or maybe I should say that is not yet the love of Christ. Yeah. And it is the love of Christ that will usher you into the realm of God, where you can have perfect discernment. Yeah. So I'm going to stop here, because we have passed 1 hour already. So I'm going to stop here. We have just 2 points left on that introduction. So which I believe I would be done with by next week. If you have questions you can ask on the group, let us pray. Father, we thank you because you are so faithful. Thank you for your love and mercy and grace on our lives. For our lives. Thank you, Father. We thank you for showing us how we can grow in the spirit of discernment, or in having a discerning spirit, how we can become strong in accurately discerning your will in all things and discerning the realities in all realms. Thank you for showing us the path to this spiritual height. Thank you, Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for making us to understand what we can do and what we should stop doing to have this level of spiritual strength and advancement and growth. Oh Lord, I ask for everyone that have listened to this teaching that you make these things we have discussed a reality in their lives. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you that the Lord will help you in every area you need help. Receive help right now in Jesus' name. Every help that you need in your spiritual walk with God to have perfect love and to be strong in your spirit. Receive those helps right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for that because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.
Goodbye.